Sylvester Stallone's Rocky movies have become the butt of endless jokes about hokey, poorly made movies with unbelievable storylines, produced solely because they can make a buck. How many are there now? Six, seven Rocky movies, something like that? It's easy to forget, though, that the original Rocky movie was critically acclaimed, with Stallone playing the part of a washed-up Philadelphia boxer who gets an unexpected shot at the heavyweight championship of the world. It was good enough to win the Academy Award for Best Picture of the Year back in 1977. And if you have seen that movie, you remember that he fought so valiantly the first time, or rather the movie made so much money, that he got a return bout with the champion in Rocky II. And he won that fight, becoming the heavyweight champion of the world. And of course, every Rocky movie features fast and furious fight scenes, and I think I've seen them all, I don't know. But as I recall, even though Rocky was knocked down numerous times, he was never knocked out. Life can be a spiritual and emotional boxing match, and our opponent is the inevitable struggles, stresses, and setbacks of life. Some people get knocked down and knocked out in the first round, never recover. Others get bruised and battered round after round, get in a few good counter punches, but end up losing anyway. Some win all the early rounds, but as life gets longer and the setbacks of life get harder, their endurance falters and fails. And some people become followers of Jesus. That describes most of us here this morning. We make Jesus the manager of our lives, so to speak, the one who's in charge. But even then, there's a variety of outcomes. Some people naively believe that when they become Christians, the struggles, the stresses, the setbacks of life never hit them again. And how surprised they are when they get knocked senseless. Others never listen, really, to Jesus' advice and attempt to fight life's battles without his direction and power, and the result is spiritual failure. Fortunately, there are some who get counsel and strength from Jesus and are then able to handle the struggles and setbacks of life effectively. Oh, they still get hit. They still get hit hard. But by God's grace, they keep standing and they keep punching back. Yes, they may get knocked down, but they don't get knocked out. They keep punching. They may lose a few rounds, but they win the fight. Because by God's grace, they develop a perspective on this thing called life. Even with all of its struggles and stresses and setbacks, that enables them to win. If life is like a boxing match, I feel like I got all my teeth knocked out this week. Our congregation has lost a fine young man, Thaddeus Lerol, in a sudden tragic car accident on Monday. In a moment, gone, taken from us. One of our beloved families has been devastated by perhaps the greatest loss a human being can suffer, the death of a child. And now we have another couple, Bob and Marlene, dealing with many of the same issues, the same sense of loss. And so many of us feel like we've gone 12 rounds this week and we really ache inside. We've been knocked down and we're trying to regain our footing. Our God is a God of real life. If he isn't, then we're wasting our time here on Sunday mornings. We should just sleep in like the rest of our neighbors and forget about all this Jesus nonsense. If all we can do is offer each other sweet and useless platitudes, why bother? But God's word makes it clear that a relationship with God can provide a perspective and a power in this boxing ring that we call life that's effective and can help us not only survive but win. Now, I realize that there are some of you here today. You did not know Thaddeus personally. You don't know the Laurel family well. You may not know Bob and Marlene Hatton that well. I didn't know their daughter Heidi. But like it or not, we're all in this boxing ring. Every person is in that ring. And you and I have an opponent that wants to knock us out. And the fact is that you're going to get hit in life. And some of those hits are going to knock you down. It's inevitable. No one escapes. But with God's help, you don't have to get knocked out. Down, yes, but not out. And so I want us to reflect today on something written by the great Christian leader Paul. This was a man well acquainted with all the punches and hits that life can throw at us. So get your Bible out today and look with me at what the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write down. It's found in his second letter to the Corinthian Christians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Put your eyeballs on God's word, either use the Pew Bibles, bring it up on your phone, whatever. And just follow along as I read, beginning at verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is God's word for us today. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with you in His presence. And this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Like Paul, we need to face the reality and admit that there's an enduring problem in life. See, Paul was no stranger to getting hit hard and often. He knew all of life's struggles full well, and the enduring problem that they present for each and every person. I'm glad that he never implied that life's difficulties are easy. You know, that's one wonderful truth about God's word. It never minimizes, it never denies, it never ignores the troubles of life and their effect on us. And here Paul reflected on several tough rounds that he'd endured in his own life. A little bit later in this same letter, here's how he described some of those hits. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. I have faced dangers from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. And in another place, he remembered one punch that he took that was so great, the pressure so intense, his ability to endure so low that he thought that he had come to the end of his life. And life's punches come in all shapes and sizes and lengths of duration, don't they? I mean, death, cancer, stroke, divorce, abuse of some kind, addiction, bankruptcy, relational conflicts, just the breaking down of relationships. That's just a short list. And everyone gets hit. You will not escape every blow. You will not be able to evade every punch. And even followers of Jesus don't escape all of these painful punches that life hands out to us. Even though we enjoy the great privilege of being children of God, we're still victims of circumstances. We still get involved in situations beyond our control. We still experience many of the changes and challenges that everybody else endures. Have you ever heard the phrase, the victorious Christian life? It's a good phrase. But sometimes it can be implied that a true Christian can live in this state of just constant victory. A smile on your face and a song in your heart at every moment. Everything marvelous all the time. It's not true. We've learned that again this week. In fact, the only way to ever get a victory is to first have a battle, right? And not only is this an enduring problem, but it's also perplexing. You know, when you read the Psalms or you read the story of Job in the Bible, over and over and over again, people ask the question, why do good people suffer? Thaddeus was a great kid. His family are great people. Heidi Hatton Kennedy, wonderful wife and mother, follower of Jesus. And we understand bad people getting beat up in the boxing ring of life. That makes sense to us. But good people? And even Paul had a hard time understanding why God didn't remove something in his life he called a thorn in the flesh. And 3 times, he says, he asked God to remove this problem that was causing some kind of stress and struggle in his life. And you remember, don't you, what the Lord said to him? My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. The Bible never answers the why question. You will look in Scripture in vain to find it. Instead, it admits that life's hits and punches are a fact of life. And Jesus, who also experienced life's struggles and stresses in abundance, made that so very clear. Remember what he said? We sometimes overlook this, what Jesus said, but it's such an important statement. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so, in fact, experiencing life's punches and hits is, it becomes a part of truly knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior, according to the Bible. Now, perhaps you've asked this week and you're asking this morning, why? Why Thaddeus? Why Heidi? Or you may be asking why about a different hit altogether, some kind of punch that you've sustained in your own life that's almost knocked you unconscious. And you may be asking, what have I done to deserve this? You may be tempted to say to God, how come if you're so all-powerful and so good, why do you allow this to happen? I get a little amused. There's one follower of Jesus back in the Middle Ages who was suffering great persecution for his faith in Jesus. And he reportedly prayed to God and he said, if this is how you treat your friends, it's no wonder you have so few. Been there? Yeah. God often gets blamed for our struggles and stresses and setbacks, no matter how serious or trivial. Life, it has this enduring problem that is both painful and perplexing. But despite all of the unanswered questions, and we have so many of them today, something within every child of God realizes that the ability to absorb the hard hits, the bloody noses, the aching ribs that life dishes out to us is found in Jesus alone. And Paul didn't give an answer to this enduring problem, but through the Holy Spirit, he did provide God's enduring perspective. How was Paul able to avoid getting knocked out by life? I mean, he was down many times. He never got knocked out. Well, he received supernatural strength from God himself on a daily basis. Here's what he said. That is why we never give up, though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. And there's many children of God here today that can attest to those times in life when all you could do was just throw yourself on God's power and grace, and the stress, the struggle, the setback, the punch, the hit may not have disappeared, but you received an inner spiritual strengthening to get up and to get through that difficult time. And Paul gives personal testimony to this spiritual reality in our text today. You remember those words? We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. And stress closes in, but we're not crushed by it. Pressure gets intense, but somehow God allows us to breathe. And yes, we get confused and we get bewildered, but he doesn't allow us to give in to despair. And people may attack and betray us, but God never abandons us. We can come to our wits' end, but we don't have to come to hope's end. We can get knocked down, but we don't have to get knocked out. And like Paul, you and I can experience a daily renewal of divine energy and grace that comes as a direct result of constant contact with the Lord of the universe. Perseverance. Not very popular today. I mean, who wants to persevere in and through negative stuff? We'd rather escape it. We'd rather avoid it. But here's what I know about being a follower of Jesus. What matters is how you finish, not how you start. Many, many people have a Jesus moment. Call themselves Christians. But fewer in number get rooted and grounded in God's truth so they can endure and persevere through all the punches and the hits of life. And it's a fact of life that there's always more people at the start of a race than at the finish. And what counts in the race that you and I call life is how we finish it, not how we start it. And by the same token, what matters when it comes to following Jesus, you know what it is? It's how you finish, my friend. It's not how you start. It's Jesus who said, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Not everybody who starts to follow Jesus keeps following Jesus right to the end of life. But Rick, isn't it just a moment of deep emotion and I believe in Jesus? No, it's not just that. The reality of your salvation and mine, of a truly restored, genuine, eternal relationship with God Himself, is determined by how you finish, not how you start. Hang in there. Get up off the canvas. Keep punching. Persevere. And your perseverance reveals the reality of whether you really trust in God or not. Whether all this Jesus stuff is really true and real for you. Here's another enduring perspective. God always has the ability to bring something good, worthwhile, and beneficial out of even the worst things in life. Paul told the Corinthian believers to whom he wrote this letter that they themselves were an example of this principle. I mean, his own trials and tribulations weren't useless or wasted. After all, through Paul's troubles, lives were being changed and renewed by Jesus. And so the more punches that Paul absorbed, the more the power of Jesus could be seen in his life. When he was weakest, Jesus was the strongest. And he wrote here, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. And so the fragile clay jar, it's you and me. And the great treasure inside is Jesus. And when that jar cracks and chips and gets a hole in it, the great treasure inside is revealed for all to see. As children of God, Jesus lives within us. And when we get punched and hit in life's boxing ring, and all we see are the chips and the cracks and the broken places in our lives, you know what? Others can see Jesus, the treasure inside of us. And I look around this room today, and I see a lot of chipped, cracked, and broken jars. But I also see Jesus. I see a lot of Jesus. Folks, both Christians and non-Christians, we're all in this boxing ring of life. I want you to get this. It's only the follower of Jesus who gets to claim this promise. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of who? 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 Was the death of Thaddeus Lorall this week a good thing? Of course not. Unspeakable tragedy. Terrible. Just the worst. We could say much the same thing about Heidi Hatton Kennedy. Terrible loss. But I know Thaddeus loved God. I know his family loves God. I know Heidi loved God and loves him. They get to claim that promise. And we get to claim that promise. And so by all means, grieve, mourn, cry. But I must also believe on the authority of the Word of God. And I ask you to believe this with me today, that God will redeem these losses some way, somehow, someday. I don't know what that is today. Neither do any of us. But God will reveal it to all of us someday. And it's only to the child of God that God makes the promise that every bloody nose, every loose tooth, every aching rib will have a meaning and a purpose. And we may not know what that is this side of heaven, but eternity will reveal it. God has never lied, and so we must trust him to make it plain one day. When you're a follower of Jesus, every knockdown, every round in the ring has a far larger purpose and a far greater meaning than any of us can perceive today. J.C. Penney, the man whose stores still bear his name today, was a devoted follower of Jesus. He was once asked what had motivated him in his life. Without hesitation, he said, "I can tell you in four words, this is what motivated me in life: Jesus Christ and adversity." Jesus Christ and adversity. He went on to explain that adversity had taught him never to give up, to have the courage to start over, and to keep his faith in God strong. And my friend, if you will surrender your hurt, your confusion, your pain to Jesus, he will not waste it. Somehow, some way, someday, he will use it. Here's another enduring perspective. When you get up after life has knocked you down, God can use you to help others get up too. In other words, your struggles, stresses, setbacks are always bigger than just you. The Bible says God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. When your face is flat on the canvas of life's boxing ring, where do you get the encouragement to get up again? Isn't it from people who have also been knocked flat too? But somehow, with God's grace and help, they found a way to get up again. And so allow God to use your experience in the ring to become a channel of his grace and his peace into the lives of other people who so desperately need it. One more enduring perspective. Every punch and hit we experience in the ring of life will seem insignificant and small from the view of eternity. Listen again to what Paul said in the passage we read. "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." Again, Paul wasn't minimizing anything, folks. He wasn't denying the reality of what can knock us to the canvas. He was simply saying that you and I have to get an eternal perspective. The boxing match is going to be over one day, thank God. The joys of life with God will last forever. You know, this perspective, it sounds like pie in the sky unless you're a follower of Jesus. On Wednesday, I was with Jean and Dee when they saw Thaddeus' body for the first time. It was yet another brutal moment in a brutal week. Part of our conversation was about the brevity of Thaddeus' life, just 17 short years. Of course it's sad. It's sad beyond words. It's sad when a 56-year-old mother and wife passes away. So much more life to live. But we also remember that in another sense, whether you live 17 years or 56 years or 117 years, it makes little difference from the perspective of eternity. You see, when we're enjoying our 109th billionth, 867 millionth, 432nd thousandth year of eternity, will it matter how long we lived in this life? And so that's why we're encouraged here to focus on the great realities that we can't see with our physical eyes. God's grace, God's love, God's faithfulness. Because they alone have permanence. Nothing else does. We don't place our trust in the things of this world or even in the people of this life, ultimately, because one day it'll all be gone. And Paul knew that the same God who raised Jesus from the dead would raise him too. He knew that when he looked at his life from the perspective of eternity, all the punches and hits he sustained in the ring would seem small and insignificant in comparison. That's perspective. Arthur Gossip was a Scottish preacher from the early 1900s. His wife died suddenly, and upon his return to the pulpit, following her death, he preached a message that was entitled, "When Life Tumbles In, What Then?" When life tumbles in, what then? And he told everyone that he didn't understand this life of ours, but still less could he understand how people facing loss could give up on Jesus and abandon their faith. And speaking from the perspective of having sustained the greatest punch in his life, here's what he said in that message. Abandon it for what? You people in the sunshine may believe the faith, but we in the shadows must believe it. We have nothing else. Life tumbled in on the Leroy family this week. Life tumbled in on the Hatton and Kennedy families this week. To a lesser extent, life tumbled in on our church family this week. When life tumbles in, what then? William Barclay, the Bible scholar, put it succinctly. He said, life is either a journey away from God or to God. Folks, life is like a boxing ring. You're going to get punched. You're going to get hit. Will it drive you to God or will it drive you away from Him? I think of two people this morning. One was a man that I met once. One was a woman I never met. The man I met when I was traveling around Europe with three other guys years ago, and we were camping in a campground near Madrid, Spain, and we got into a conversation with this gentleman. He was older, American. We were just chatting, catching up. And when he found out that we were Christians, that we had spent a year in Bible school together in England, I still remember he just kind of looked off into the distance and he said, "Yeah, I used to believe. But the older I get, the more those simple answers don't make sense anymore. For whatever reason, life for him had become a journey away from God." I never knew Jenny Fry. Jenny was the wife of a former pastor at a church I served in Pennsylvania years ago before coming to Columbus. She had terminal cancer. She was so loved in that congregation. A few days before she died, she simply said, "What is faith for, if it's not for times like this?" Her life continued to be a journey toward God. So how is it with you? And how will it be with you? Because the punches are going to come. The hits are going to come. You will not escape them all. You will not avoid them all. Will they make you bitter and angry and upset so that you move away from God? Or instead, because you know in your heart and your spirit that the answer is only in Jesus, they drive you to Him for the grace and the strength and the power that you need. I want you to sing an old hymn with me as I close our message today. You probably, the words may be new to you. The tune you probably will sound familiar. It's an old Welsh melody. No instruments, just voices. There's something about scripture, something about hymns, something about praise songs that allow us to verbalize what we're feeling inside. Our praise, our grief, our faith. And this is one hymn that does it for me. And I'm just going to ask you to sing it with me prayerfully as we close our time together. Through the love of God, our Savior, all will be well. Free and changeless is His favor. All is well. Precious is the blood that healed us. Perfect is the grace that sealed us. Strong the hand stretched out to shield us. All must be well. Though we pass through tribulation, all will be well. Ours is such a full salvation. All is well. Happy still in God confiding, fruitful if in Christ abiding, holy through the Spirit's guiding, all must be well. We expect a bright tomorrow. All will be well. Faith can sing. Well, on our Father's love relying, Jesus every need supplying, or in living or in dying, all must be well. Father God, it's not well today. And it probably won't be well tomorrow. But one day all will be well. We believe that promise because your word makes it true and real in so many different ways. Father, grant us your continued comfort and grace in these sad days. We lift up the Laurel family again to you. We lift up the Hatton and Kennedy families to you. We lift ourselves before you. Thank you for the promise that all will be well. All must be well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.